who handles disappointments. So I've got dad jokes to start off with. I'm afraid for the calendar, its days are numbered. Getting disappointed yet? My wife said I should do lunges to stay in shape. That'd be a big step forward. Singing in the shower is fun until you get soap in your mouth. Then it becomes a soap opera. What do a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common? They're both parasites. I was disappointed too. What do you call a fish wearing a bow tie? Sophisticated. How do you follow Will Smith in the snow? You follow his fresh prints. That's one for Derek. What do you call a factory that makes okay products? A satisfactory. What did a janitor say when he jumped out of the closet? Supplies. They're pretty bad. I don't trust these trees. They seem kind of shady. I was going to tell a time-traveling joke, but you guys didn't like it. All right, you know all those Pinterest things you see, those neat things you see on Pinterest, like, oh, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to replicate, I'm going to do that. Well, here's some examples of some Pinterest things gone wrong, some Pinterest fails. So the first one, there's the expectation, then the reality. Next one, expectation, then the reality. Next one, what you expect to turn out, and then the expectation, the reality. He wouldn't pose for a picture. Next one, expectation, what the reality ends up being. Next one, that's what you expect to turn out, and this is what you get. The next one, expectation and reality. Next one, expectation, then reality. And you got Cookie Monster, that's what you want to turn out, and this is what you end up getting. You know, you get that nice new haircut, that new hairdo. That's what you expect to happen. And this is what you come away with. And then finally, when you hear that there's going to be a guest speaker and you maybe hope for someone like maybe Jim Book and you end up with this guy right there. So I apologize to begin with that.
Right,
I know. I was disappointed. So I figured just like to share the love. All right. So we're all right, we're all disappointed, ready to go? All right, there are several things that can disappoint us, like that first scratch or that ding that's in your new car. I hate that. Your favorite sports team is losing. I've been a lifelong Cubs fan, so I know disappointment. So, I know some people disagree with me, but expecting a chocolate chip cookie and biting into an oatmeal raisin. Now, I don't mind oatmeal raisin, but if I think it's a chocolate chip and it's oatmeal raisin, that's disappointment. Now, more seriously, though, maybe losing a job or a job not going as well as you'd hoped. Sometimes friends letting you down when you thought maybe they never would. Sometimes financial burdens happen, like car repairs, appliances stop working. Maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend or even a spouse isn't what you expected they would be. These are pretty common disappointments. What's important, though, is how we handle them. That's what this lesson is all about tonight. How do we handle the challenges of life? How do we react to different afflictions, frustrations, and the unexpected things that life throws at us? How do we meet disappointments and the difficulties of life? Do we get angry and vent our anger upon ourselves or others? Do we vent our anger on God? Do we just give up and quit? Do we allow ourselves to become bitter and blame our problems on circumstances or others? Do we let it cause breakups in the communities or even the church or destroy relationships? Or do we continue in self-pity and make everyone miserable around us? Just how do we meet the disappointments of life? So this lesson gives us some examples for us to consider. You know, you might have, there might be a situation of a hardworking man. He's cut down in his prime by an unexpected accident, and he can't provide the needs for his family or for himself. So in despair, he wonders what he's going to do. I mean, what would you tell him? A lady has heavy burdens to bear, and she feels she can't go on. She just lost her job, and she can't seem to find another one. She finds it very difficult to live on welfare. She says that she lives a lonely life, gets depressed, has no one to turn to in time of need. What would you tell her? Another lady is told in the midst of all her difficulties that time heals all wounds and that God will comfort her, or whatever doesn't kill her makes her stronger. But she asks, does he walk with me to the cemetery to visit my children who have passed? Does he cry with me or ease my pain? Or does he answer my prayers? And is there a loving and merciful God who really cares? Or, in thinking of my own life, how do I empathize with my sister who, when she was 34 years old, lost her husband tragically and left her alone to raise a 15-month-old son? And these are all things that are difficult, especially you wonder, is God there? People question that at times. So who can help us get through these tough times in life? Disappointment is a very effective tool that the devil uses, that he attacks us with. It's the small things that seem to mound up and get us down. Fortunately, James 4:7 says, submit to the authority of God, resist the devil, and the Amplified adds, stand firm against him, and he'll flee from you. So we can look to God's word for help. Now, not everyone who might like to help or speak to those that are undergoing trials can bring words of comfort and strength. How can a person like the following be a comfort to someone else, to another one that's going through these different trials? Like one who's been sheltered their entire life, one who has not faced doubt or despair, one who hasn't had to battle for their lives just to survive. But those who have triumphed over difficulties more than once by faith in God should be able to offer the kind of help and support that's needed. It helps to have somebody who has gone through a similar situation because they're able to empathize with what you're going through and offer you advice. That's why there are support groups and counselors to help us cope with life's difficulties. So we can look at some examples from the Bible to help us get answers and how to deal with life's disappointments. We have the Bible to comfort us and to help us in times of need. In Revelation 2:10, it says, fear nothing that you're about to suffer. Be aware that the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested in your faith, and for 10 days you'll have tribulation. Be faithful to the point of death, even if you must die for your faith, and I will give you the crown of life. So one example from the Bible, first one, looking at Abraham and Sarah. God's promises to Abraham was that he would have many descendants. He'd make him a great nation, and all the nations would be blessed through him. The problem was that Abraham and Sarah didn't have any children. It's kind of hard to have many descendants if you don't have any children. Since God made this promise to them, they were disappointed that they were up in age just a little bit and still didn't have any children. So Sarah decided to take matters into her own hands, and she offered her servant Hagar to have children with Abraham because they weren't able to. That ended up causing a rift with Sarah and Hagar, ended up causing some strife. When we try to get ahead of God and make our own plans, disappointment happens. So we need to have faith, and we need to trust that God's going to fulfill his promises to us. Remember, our timing is different than God's. Second example I've got is Joseph. He had many disappointments throughout his life. I mean, his brothers hated him. They were jealous of him to the point of wanting to even kill him. Now, I think he probably did bring a little bit on himself, but still, instead of killing him, they decided to sell him into slavery. So imagine disappointment he was going through. Your brothers wanting to kill you and selling you into slavery, that would be a little disappointing. Then things start to look up for him when he's put in charge of things because he found favor with Potiphar. However, he gets wrongly accused of assaulting Potiphar's wife, and he's thrown in prison. That's a little disappointing. Then he interprets dreams in prison and finds favor in Pharaoh's eyes. So then things are looking up. He then is put in charge of providing during the famine. And this is when his brothers and family had to come begging for food to survive. Joseph could have been vindictive, and he could have punished his brothers, but he didn't. He did make them sweat a little bit. But in the end, he realized that God had a plan for him to save Egypt and the surrounding areas from famine. This teaches us that we have to be patient and realize the disappointments that we experience in life may be blessings in disguise. It all depends on our perspective. Joseph could have given up completely and had a pity party, but he didn't let his disappointments get him down. He continued to have character regardless of his circumstances, and God blessed him for it. So many times we don't know why disappointments happen, but it's how we react to them that matters. And we have Moses. He was another great example of dealing with disappointment. How many times did he get discouraged with the Israelites? When they grumbled and they complained, he even had to intercede on their behalf to God because God was going to destroy them. After all that Moses did, all the good he did, he was denied entering into the promised land because he disobeyed God when he struck that rock and didn't give God the credit. This example teaches us that there are consequences for our actions. We can be obedient, but if we make a series of bad decisions that can affect us even the rest of our life. But once again, Revelation 2:10 tells us if we are faithful until death, we'll receive that crown of life. Then we have Paul. Paul had many disappointments as well. He was at the top of his game when he was a Pharisee. He was persecuting the church, thought he was doing the right thing, but then he had to be blinded for 3 days to realize what he was doing was wrong. I'm sure in those 3 days, his toe may have found a few bedposts, among other things. Not being able to see would be pretty disappointing. He was also shipwrecked. He was stoned, left for dead, beaten with rods, and he also had that thorn in his flesh that really bothered him, to the point of even asking it to be God to remove it 3 times, to which God said no. That was probably very disappointing to Paul, since he was asked 3 times. But he didn't give up. He didn't quit spreading the gospel. He could have quit, but he realized there was something bigger than himself. We can learn from Paul that it is not about us. It's all about God. We have a responsibility to spread God's word and grow the church regardless of disappointments that we may face in life. And the lesson writer here mentioned Job. Job was an extreme case, however. He was attacked on all fronts, his family, his wealth, and then finally his health. The devil attacked him basically because he was a good guy. Job didn't understand why he was going through these terrible experiences, but he was faithful, and in the end, God restored him twice as much as before. God blessed him more in his latter life than before. We don't always know why we're going through trials, but we must remain faithful regardless of our circumstances. It has a lot to do with our perspective. God wants us to rely on him. If we never have any disappointments in life, we're not as apt to look to God for help and guidance. God wants to hear from us. He wants to be there for us in the good times as well as the disappointing times. So here's some thoughts to think about. Number one, it's important to seek to understand the greatness of God. Number two, gladly submit your will to God. Even Jesus did this in the garden when he was praying. Number three, peace will come that will be a blessing. Somebody has Philippians 4:7. Can you read that, please? Philippians 4:7.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. Number four, the God of heaven can be trusted. He will never leave us. Number five, faith in Christ can give the strength that we need to bear up under all difficulties. Because Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things through him who gives strengthens me.
I think of that verse often. Number six, we should count our blessings. Philippians 4:6.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
And seven, use failure as stepping stones to higher ground. How many successful people in life have had failures? Everyone, every one of them. I know Thomas Edison, I can't remember, there was several different ways he was trying to get figure out a filament that would light for a long period of time and be cheap, and it's like several, it was over 100, it was a crazy amount. But we're talking about perspective. He was asked, how do you feel about failing? I think it was 139 times or something like that, or it was a lot. He says, well, I found 139 ways not to make a light bulb. So it was all about his perspective. I mean, he was happy when he finally figured it out. George?
So, yeah, when we work in the shop, a lot of times Dylan gets all flustered because he's afraid to make a mistake. And the failures in life, if you take that perspective and the disappointments, and you try to fail, but I always tell him this, there's nothing you can't break so bad that we can't fix it. We'll figure it out, man.
Usually. there's always exceptions. Right, that's true. That's a good point. All right, and then, so use our failures as stepping stones to higher ground. Number eight, seek the help of those who have successfully gone through the trials of life. I think a lot of times that's why God gives us different things to go through so we can empathize with others and help others deal with things that they're going through. So here's some scriptures to think about. Psalm 34, 8, and 9. Who has? Someone read that. Psalm 34, 8, and 9.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the one who takes shelter in him. Remain loyal to the Lord, you chosen people of his, for his loyal followers lack nothing.
All right, so this verse gives us the reassurance of being blessed if we take refuge in him, and we will not want. Who has James 1:17?
Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no varying or shifting shadow.
So here we can see that every good thing comes from God and that he does not change. It's reassuring. Matthew 7:7 through 11.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him?
All right, so if we keep asking God, he'll give it to us. So how much better than our earthly fathers, if they give us gifts, what will God give us? Matthew 6:33 through 34.
But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
All right, so instead of worrying about tomorrow, seek after his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And 1 Peter 5:6-7.
And God will exalt you in due time if you humble yourselves under his mighty hand by casting all your cares on him because he cares for you.
All right, so we need to cast all our problems on him because he cares for us. He wants to hear from us. He wants to bear our burdens. All right, so some concluding thoughts. There's no special worked out theory or formula that's going to erase the great pain that's of some of our disappointments in life. However, the Lord does provide a way for us to live with our sorrows and trials and gradually to overcome all the challenging things that we have to endure. Peter says in John 6:68, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" And the Amplified adds, "You alone have the words of eternal life. You are the only hope." So here are some things to consider from this lesson. Evaluate your priorities and keep the focus where it needs to be. Pray that you'll be able to see God's will in your life, even when it isn't what you may think you want. Recognize your weaknesses and know who the adversary is. But most importantly, you need to remain faithfully. And I was thinking as I was reading this, I had this little, the Footprints in the Sand poem. Now I got to be disappointed. I'm getting old. I have to wear these things because I can't see. I know we've all heard it, but I just, as I was reading through this with my lesson, it just kind of, you know, resonated. It says, with Footprints in the Sand, "One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the way, along the path of his life, there were only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life, by many disappointments. This really bothered him, and he asked the Lord about it. 'Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way, but I have noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you the most, you would leave me.' The Lord replied, 'My precious, precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints in the sand, is when then that I carried you.'" So just make sure that we remain faithful to God no matter our circumstances. Any comments, questions? Jason?
In John 6 there, verse 66, it was very interesting. You know, Jesus had just got finished with his long dissertation here. And it says in verse 66, "As a result of this, many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore." You know, Jesus was rejected by many people. And we sometimes face rejection a lot of times.
Right.
And one of my biggest fears is rejection. But God was rejected. Jesus himself was rejected. We don't need to fear that because it's up to us just to be proclaiming and being faithful. It's up to us just to continue with the message. Doesn't matter what the message is, as long as it's coming from God's word.
Right.
But we don't have to fear that rejection. Even Jesus faced the rejection. Right. Our job is to continue being faithful.
Now, how many times, God knew from the beginning of the time what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to have to provide Christ to redeem us back to him. He knew that we're human, we'd fail, and we'd sin, fall short in Romans 3:23. But he still did it. I mean, imagine the disappointment he has. So fortunate that we have Christ, that we are covered when on the last day of the judgment, that God sees his son, does not see us. Any comments, questions? Well, I didn't want to disappoint you completely, so we finished a few minutes early. So thank you.